Today, our scripture reading is from Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. See, I will create new heavens and new earth. The former things will not be remembered, not will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years, will be thought to be a mere child. The one who fails to live 100 will be considered accused. They will build homes and dwellings in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plants and others eat. For the days of a tree, so will there be days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their own hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed for misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the dust will be the shepherd's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Amen.
And our gospel lesson comes from the book of St. Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. Hear these words. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they're about to take place?" And he replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." And then he said to them, "Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in very places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnessed to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. For I will give you the words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me. but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you'll gain life. Here endeth the reading of God's
holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads now and pray with me?
O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. We heard today from the Old Testament book of Isaiah and from the book of Luke prophecies about the end time. Now, it's interesting, in this part of the church year, one of the things that I do is I follow what we call a lectionary, and those are a set of readings that go throughout each Sunday. And so if you were to be sitting in churches of other denominations today, like a Lutheran church or a Catholic church or maybe even a Presbyterian church, they would be reading the same lessons that we're reading today. In today's lessons, we're coming to the end of a church year. And a church year usually lasts until it starts at Advent and it ends on the last Sunday before Advent. And it's interesting that this year we get these readings about prophecy, about the world to come, about what's going to happen, the end time. And as we get these, we may think that sometimes what God says in the book of Luke, that so many people are going to come and say so many things about when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, what's going to happen. And these things in our time that we hear about, these prophecies, we have to remember that God is the only one who knows the real time. But because they are part of Scripture, we need to look at them and examine them and see what they speak for our lives and for our life to come. How many of you remember a time when someone forecasted the end of the world and when it would occur? If you have, can I just see a show of hands? Absolutely. I can remember December 31st, 1999, as it was going to strike midnight and we were going to get into the year 2000. And the big worry was Y2K. What's going to happen? Everything's going to end. And I remember, you know, giving that some thought and thinking, wow, I mean, everybody's talking about this. And the computers are going to blow up. And there's not going to be any water. And there's not. And then it was 12:01 and we were still standing. And I thought, wow, we really don't know the day, the hour, the time, but God does. So what are we to do with these scriptures? Well, because Jesus and the authors have put these in the Bible, we need to take a look at them and see what they really mean for us today. For those times when, like Jesus says, the old will pass away and the new will come. You know, he was talking about the temple. And he was talking about how the temple was adorned with so many wonderful things. And I think sometimes, it's just to kind of get a visual on this, we had Solomon's temple in the Old Testament that was just beautiful and lavish. Now we're talking about Herod's temple. And when we talk about this temple being big, we're not talking about small blocks. We're talking about blocks that were, you know, 4 or 5 ton each block to put this temple up. And Jesus is saying, none of that is even going to remain when the time happens. It's all going to be gone. And so 40 years after Jesus forecasts this, we know that actually happened to that temple. But the thing about prophecies are interesting, because there were plenty of prophecies before Jesus, there were prophecies that he had during his time, and certainly there were prophecies after his time. Now, I love the passage from Isaiah that we had read this morning, because Isaiah, back way before the time of Jesus, forecast this time of a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, when that happens, the former things are not going to be remembered. But then he says some very, very comforting things. He says this. He says, before you call, I'll answer. And he says things like, the wolf and the lamb are going to feed together. And he says, the lion is going to eat straw. And he says this very strengthening thing. He says, but the serpent will eat dust. And then we get a little even closer to things. He says, no more will we have just infants living a few days. And if you're older, you're going to live a lifetime. And guess what? If you reach 100 years old, you're going to be considered a youngster. Wow. A beautiful, beautiful prophet. And he says that my children will long enjoy the work of their hands. Well, as we have heard these prophecies, as we've heard the prophecies of Luke and what Jesus has recorded, we think about these temples, these physical temples. But I want to bring this scripture home a little closer today. I want to talk about what happens and what's to happen when those temples that we build in our lives come crumbling down. Those human aspects of us, when they, for some reason or another, just come crashing down. Those of you who have dealt with divorce or maybe a family member, you know what I mean. How everything that was so well thought out and planned just turns to devastation. Those of you who have lost a loved one, maybe even lost a child, you know what that feels like. Those of you who have lost not only a job, but have lost a lifelong pension in a retirement that you thought you would have, know what I'm talking about. Those are those personal temples that we have that when they come crashing down on us, we ask God, what are we to do? How are we to respond? And just as Jesus made that analogy to the people about their structure, physical structures, we take those words and we put them in charge of our human structures today. And God says this. He says, be on guard. Be aware that there's going to be many people coming at you telling you this is the time, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, this is what's going to cause this. Many will reach out to you in my name and say anything. But he says, that's a big mistake if you listen to them. Now, if you've walked through one of these situations that I talked about, or even there's more situations we could probably think, we could think about how these times are a test of our faith. How these times are even a test of our God. And how these times are a test for our need. And what most people ask is, what do I do when my world has fallen apart? Jesus gave that directive to the people when their temple fell apart. But what is he speaking to us when our temples, yea, even our physical bodies, fall apart? And he says this. He says, beware. Don't go after the people that are hitting you with, you need to do this, this will happen, that will happen. He says, just remember this. Hold fast, no matter what you're going through, hold fast because God is for us. Even when we think our faith is a sham, even when we question God, why God would even allow something of that magnitude to happen to us, he says, hold fast because our faith is what we need to hold on to. And through our faith, we're going to get these answers. We're going to get the ability to be carried through these situations. But Jesus is very strong when he's saying there's going to be a lot of distractions. Now, These collapses that we're talking about, some of them in our lives are expected. Some of them just come out of the blue. But that's why it's so important to remain connected to the Almighty, so that we can build up what we call endurance in ourselves. So when these things happen, that we will be able to seek the Lord and find His presence and be carried through these. You know, endurance is such a special thing, and it's a gift that God gives us. And how do we do that? Well, in the midst of chaos or in the midst of calm. So I was telling the kids that God is always and everywhere the same. And God never changes in His love and His care for us. And if we do that, instead of trying to reach out to any and everything that's going to make us feel better. And if you've ever been in a bad situation or your heart is hurting, sometimes all we do is we just want something that's going to make us feel better. Something maybe that's going to relieve our pain. Something that's going to relieve our anxiety. And if you think about all the things that are in the world to do that, there's plenty of things to do that. But oh, do they have their pitfalls and their consequences. And Jesus wants us to remember that God is for us and God is with us. And for us to trust in Him. And so I use this example of when we're in a situation and our temples crumble and we want to trust in Him, we've got to do it, start with minute by minute. And then maybe we can get to hour by hour. And then maybe we can get to day by day. But in doing so, we fill ourselves with His Holy Spirit. And He is able to transform the old into that new that He so promises us. He wants us to do the right thing, to be connected to Him. Now, when we do that, when we build up our endurance, and we might say, Lord, how are we supposed to do that? Well, did you notice whenever Jesus talked about major things like that, He was with a group of people. And that's one of the biggest ways He says, you need to do this together to endure in your faith, to feel My presence, whether that's through worship, whether that's through outreach. And then He says, and I need you personally to stay connected to Me, to hold on, because those minutes are going to turn into hours and days and years, and that new heaven and that new earth is going to make sense. And there's healing that can happen. And so when your world falls apart, when the temple is crumbled, we remember God is for us. As we come up to Advent, we're going to be using that word Emmanuel, and we're going to remember that God is not only for us, but God is with us. And healing can occur. We know that. Sometimes, out of divorce, when things are handled in a right manner, in a truthful manner, true growth can happen. And families can gain some restoration. Out of death, we know there can come a whole new reality and a whole new sense of being, and that somehow our lives can be changed and our minds fixed on things that are beyond the physical of this world. I see it all the time with people who've lost jobs, who've lost their heart in their jobs and have lost pensions and stuff like that. But out of that also can come some new beginnings, some new things that we would never be able to put our eyes and our ears and our minds around. So that's what we're going to do with these prophecies today. I want you to remember that things are going to happen. Jesus laid it out for us. Things are going to happen in our world. Things are going to happen in our personal lives. But if we believe and if we endure, not even one hair on our head is going to be affected. Not even one hair. And he calls us to trust in that. Not to let the prophecies, not to let the things happen continue to weigh us down, to whittle us down, to cripple us, so that our spirit is totally lost. You know, there's a story about a man who was inflicted with a poison arrow. And that poison, when the arrow hit his system, the poison would start to release. And this was a very intentional thing. And when that happened, his family and his friends came to his rescue. And they wanted to get that arrow out of him. But before he would let them do that, he said, "I need to know, the person who did this, was it a man or a woman?" And as he lay there, the poison kept going through his system. And then he said, they tried to help him again. He said, "No, was the man tall or short?" And they kept saying, "We need to get this out of your system. We need to help you." And he said, no, one more question. Was the man black or was the man white?" And by that time, the man had so much poison in his system that he expired. Friends, when things happen, we can hold on to things. We can hold on to things that will poison us, that will continually try to invade us. And people, good people, godly people, will come alongside us and point us to Him. And poisonous people will still be around us. But we can't let that poison go through our system. We have the opportunity to pluck it out. We have the opportunity to allow others around us, Christian brothers and sisters, to help pluck it out. But will we let them? And as we go forward today, and you remember these prophecies, the one thing I want you to remember is the next time you hear about when the end of the world is going to be, the next time you hear that someone has hyped everybody up, please understand that God's not saying that it's not going to happen at one point in time. It is. But we don't know the season. We don't know the actual time. That's for God to discern. But what we can do is endure in our faith. Endure in our worship of Him. And trust, when He says this in that scripture, that not a hair of our head will be touched. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You and praise You for Your word. God, You know, people get us riled up when we think about the end, when we think about things that might rob us of our human accomplishments. We cower and we reach out for things. And Lord, You give us such good direction today to be on guard and be aware, but that You are for us, not against us. And that no matter what it is, that You can help us, transform us, and move us through it. Lord, we pray for that time when a new heaven and a new earth comes. We pray for that time when our physical bodies won't have to undergo disease. We pray for that time when our spirits are free. We pray for that time where we can be in Your presence and feel You in that life everlasting. Father, take us now from this worship into Your hands. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.